This is a warning. The podcast episode you are about to listen to is so jam-packed with puns and rhymes, there was literally no room for the traditional opening intro limerick. As it is, we're going to be fined heavily for our involvement in faulty wordplay and conundrum quips. If you start to feel your eyes roll, know that this is just a natural response to this level of punishment. I had to. Good evening and welcome to Gore, a horror podcast to keep you up at night. I'm the Wicked Kitten who's getting into mischief, and with me, as always, are my creepy co-hosts, the lovely Travis.
Ahoy.
I'm thrown off.
Gotta keep you on your toes.
The endearing, the ethereal Faye.
Hi, hi.
And lastly, the dread you've been feeling since you hit play on this podcast, Dreadly.
Well, howdy there.
Howdy, partner. There's a snake in my boots. Or something, right? Is that a cowboy thing people say?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. You can tell I don't watch Westerns. But I do like to know what everyone's been up to, and a little thing I call, what you doing, what you watching, how you been, Travis?
I've been pretty good. Still playing Warhammer Darktide, but I did start playing a new game. It's not a horror game, but it has some really cool elements. Nightingale, which is a survival game, but it's set in a very steampunk-ish fae world. And it's a lot of fun. You build stuff. It's very Minecrafty. You got to go out, collect resources, build your house, all that good stuff. But then also there will be strange fey creatures that just wander by out of nowhere. And they're amazing. It's really
cool.
When
you said fey world, I thought you meant fey, our fey.
Yes, not our fey. My world.
She'll pass by from time to time.
But maybe on occasion shows up. Also, I've been on a Sherlock Holmes kick because we covered it on Those Were the Days. And so I've been going back watching a bunch of episodes of that because I just love that those stories. But I particularly love the Granada television series starring Jeremy Brett. That is my favorite incarnation of it on screen. And so I've been watching those, and that's been a ton of fun because Jeremy Brett was amazing.
I don't think I've ever seen those.
If you like Sherlock Holmes at all, I recommend watching at least one of them. For me, when I read Sherlock Holmes, the face I see and the voice I hear is Jeremy Brett.
I think I've only really seen, what's the one with the young one?
Young Sherlock Holmes?
Is there a movie called something
Isn't there
with
a movie with a young Sherlock Holmes called something?
Sherlock Holmes. Yeah.
Which I like. I like that movie.
That one creeped me out.
I mean, I've watched and read so many different versions of Sherlock Holmes. I love the BBC one with Benedict Cumberbatch and Martin Freeman, going all the way back to the 1940s movies with Basil Rathbone. I have a bunch of audiobook versions of it and audio drama versions. And I said this on Those Were the Days, but my one possession in this house, other than Bella, that I would make sure got out of the house if it caught on fire, is a book. It's the collected complete Sherlock Holmes, published in 1934, I think, that was given to me. That's just, it's like the one thing I would get out of here. Everything else can burn. I just want that book and the dog.
You heard it here, insurance investigators.
The dog would just follow you. Bella would do that.
Most likely, yeah. But yeah, that's been just a lot of fun to go back and watch those. That's mostly, other than stuff I've done for what you haven't seen, like watching Roadhouse.
Roadhouse.
Which was...
Toast Tabs.
It was just fun to go back and watch that. Realized two things watching Roadhouse. Number one, I'm not sure who used more hairspray, Patrick Swayze or the leading lady. Because both of their hair was hurricane proof. And also that apparently... bouncers in the 1980s wore jeans and no underwear. That was just a thing.
Commando.
Is that uncomfortable or is it just me?
I don't know. I feel like that would be uncomfortable, but they seem to do that. So whatever.
Maybe they didn't want those, you know, those panty lines in their jeans or something.
They were wearing rather toit pants, so.
Toit.
Toit like a tiger.
Yeah. Can't wear boxers and tight jeans, right? That just doesn't work. Otherwise you got like this bunchy bunched up underwear in your
pants. Not comfortable.
It doesn't look
tight,
right.
Jeans, tight jeans aren't comfortable anyway, so.
It's what thongs are for.
Yes, men should wear thongs. That was my thought as well. Faye! Who are you watching? Where you been? How you doing?
Well, I started playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, and it has been so fun.
I hate you.
Yeah.
Fight. Shirts off, fight.
I like it because the combat has definitely been improved and runs a lot smoother than what it did in Remake. So I'm happy for that. And so far, I've been enjoying the new story on how they're trying to tell it. Other than that, I did go see a couple of movies in the theater. I went and saw Dune Part 2.
Yep.
So good.
Very good.
And I also saw Drive Away Dolls, which I also enjoyed.
That I'm looking forward to.
It's very good. Just be prepared for a lot of sex.
Like good sex?
No.
Uncomfortable sex.
Oh, no, it's all good. just be prepared for it, because I wasn't.
So don't take my dad, is what you're saying.
Right.
Yeah, don't bring a child. There was a child, like 13, 14, that was sitting right up behind. I didn't bring. Somebody else brought. And I was just like, oh, how
R-rated
are you going to walk out?
Anyway.
Yeah. But people, people think it's okay to bring kids to R-rated movies if it's just like violence is the reason.
Yeah, I saw RoboCop in the theaters. So, and the Terminator movies, and
like violence is, in my opinion, violence is worse than sex, but a lot more comfortable than sitting with your parent and watching that. All I'm thinking about is Scott's dad with a giant towel throwing it at the screen.
I mean, I had a friend of mine in high school that took his mom to see 8mm. So,
oh wow,
that was he realized, you know, very quickly into that movie that a mistake was made. I haven't let him live that one down.
Good movie. I would say there's probably about 5 or 6 scenes of it throughout the movie. So just be prepared. That's all.
And also I can second Dune Part 2. Very good.
Yes.
I did see that. I forgot to mention it. It's been a long week.
Yep. I haven't seen any Dunes, so.
Well, I think we could fix that.
Should we take you to the beach.
Should we start with the 80s Dune and
obviously
the full extended cut?
Obviously.
The full 3 hour plus.
Man, movies just aren't. Movies aren't an hour and a half anymore.
I think that was, watching more Supernatural. I did finish season one finally.
Yay.
And that's it.
Dreadly. How do you do?
Well, that was short.
This is where
you... I was waiting for you to like more things, but yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I have not been playing Final Fantasy Rebirth because Square Enix hates me. So I'm paying them back by playing other Square Enix games. They'll teach them, I guess. I don't know. But I finally finished Star Ocean 2, which was great. Really enjoyed that. Still need to do the extra post-game dungeon thing they added, but I'll get to that. And I've been playing another game of theirs called Tactics Ogre, which is also a lot of fun, but a little more different because you actually need to think about things because it's tactics. Yes.
things in a game with ogres?
Yeah, that's right. Ogre. I haven't seen any ogres yet, by the way. I'm very disappointed.
Yeah, he's probably chasing some nerds.
I have been trying to summon Faye in that game, but for some reason, Faye doesn't want to. Always fails. So, sad.
Bummer.
That's about it for games, I think. On other news, we also continued our Cheers watching truing. Yeah. That's a word. We're about to finish season 4. And just a small fun fact thingy. So in older shows like this, you sometimes see actors like in their first role, very young, and you're like, oh, that person, oh, I recognize you. So in one episode, we had like two young kids, and I was like, huh, I wonder if they grew up to be actors, like, you know, someone we know. And it was a girl and a boy, and the girl, no clue. But the boy had an IMDb profile picture of Chucky. And I'm like, huh, that's interesting. And that boy actually played.
Voice.
He's actually the voice of the good guy dolls in Child's Play 1, 2, 3.
Mm-hmm.
And then.
Wanna play?
Yep. And then he actually had a line in the Cheers episode. I'm like, yep. That's weird now. But that was amazing.
Nice. It's always fun when that happens.
I love things like that. And the fact that his profile picture is Chucky on IMDb. It's like, what?
We have to find out why.
I don't know. There was some movies being watched. One movie we talked about quite a while ago because of a trailer, which is called No Way Up, which is about an airplane crashing into the ocean or whatever, and there's a shark on the poster. Spoiler, there's not a lot of sharks in that movie, and the movie does not make a lot of sense, and actually it's a very, very bad movie. So... don't
and
watch
that's
it.
That's coming from Dread.
Right.
Oh.
A lot.
Well, it's because the trailers make you think that they're getting ravaged by sharks when nothing happens.
Well, the trailer also promises you a movie. And, well.
It's not.
Look, what I've learned from this is if you fly from Los Angeles to Mexico, you somehow end up in the ocean in the middle of nowhere where helicopters trying to rescue you are like an hour away from other helicopters. I also learned that you don't need oxygen at all at the bottom of the ocean. And if you swim up, you don't need to breathe. It's fine. You'll just come to it in the end. It's fine. Everything's fine. Terrible movie. Speaking of terrible movies, no. We also watched Gods of the Deep, which was not that terrible, I guess. It was a Lovecraftian-inspired movie. So.
Comparatively.
Yes. Comparatively, it was Oscar-worthy. So, yeah. Nah, it was decent-ish, I mean, for what it was. And we also watched some older movies, namely Slaughter High,
Oh God. Yes. Slaughter High. What that is just like classic cheese 80s slasher movie. Literally all of the tropes. It's just waiting for us to cover it on an episode of this show, basically. Mm-hmm. It's everything. It's got everything.
Well,
and yeah, we should think that one would be fun. Another 80s movie we watched was The Boogeyman, not to be confused with The Boogeyman or The Boogeyman or, you know, Boogeyman 2 or all the other boogeymans.
And this was this is the 1981, and we watched this for patron movie night, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked this movie. I had not seen this movie, so they can't blame me for that. Yes, it was weird. It was a weird fucking movie. There were a lot of very strange things, but you know something? It wasn't a terrible movie. And that's about all I got to say.
Far worse movies.
Yeah, I've seen worse.
That's high praise.
It's got some pretty memorable deaths. I'll give it that. How about that? Those car ones were pretty great. I've always wanted to make out with a knife.
Oh, right.
That was real dumb.
That was amazing. Speaking of amazing, Wicked is somehow making me suffer through DC comic movies.
Suffer?
I mean, okay, we watched Aquaman 1 and 2, which were fine. Those
are good.
1 is good, 2 was... Okay, I mean, I had some issues with certain things. Yeah. But then, we also watched Man of Steel. I'm told that the next one is worse.
Here is my thing. Batman versus Superman, they said was bad. I have seen the original version and it's not great. And I saw the Ultimate Edition and I think that it's better. I'm not the saying Ultimate. It's a great movie, but it's better.
It is better.
Yeah. And Man of Steel is... but I think I actually enjoyed the Batman versus Superman Ultimate Edition better than Man of Steel. But that's just because it has all these extra elements in it that makes it really fun and exciting, you know, like because you added Batman in there and stuff. But Martha. Now I know all these damn Martha references that everyone kept saying for the longest time. And I'm like, why are they talking about Martha all the time? But you'll see when we get there.
Yeah.
Because you won't have to suffer through the shorter version.
Oh, I won't. Thank God. I'll get to suffer through a longer version. Yay. But yes, we'll talk about that next time, I guess.
Yeah,
if I'm still alive.
Just make sure to play Wonder Woman. That way, it's a good palate cleanser.
Well, I've already seen Wonder Woman. Those I've seen.
Yeah, I did force him to see Wonder Woman 84, though.
I mean, it's a good year. That was the best part of that movie. I didn't hate that movie. I'm just being funny.
All I'm saying is watching all these different versions. I'm really starting to appreciate Zack Snyder more. So that's all that's coming at it for me.
Mm-hmm.
And making him suffer is a plus. And I watched a whole slew of movies on my own. And just to quickly go through those... rewatched the classic UHF, which is just
Yay!
A phenomenal freaking movie. Go watch that because it's so freaking funny. I rewatched Dolls, which is a great movie. 80s cheesy dolls killing things, you know how it is. and also watched for the first time a movie called Cellar Dweller, which I had seen the cover of for many, many decades. And that is a lot of fun, actually. It's a pretty fun movie. It wasn't a perfect movie, but it was, we may have to cover that at some point on the show. Also watched the Robert Englund directed 976 Evil. My God, there's another classic. And,
such a good movie.
Yeah, that's a, there's something so, like, something about the atmosphere in that movie is just so, it's so good. I'm not saying it's a good movie, but I enjoy it. Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah, it is. I watched a movie with Robert Englund that's even more recent than that called The Last Showing. I think it was 2016 that it came out. This is a weird movie. Very different. It had some really strong things about it. I don't want to go into too much detail. Not that there's any surprises really in it, but it made me think, even though I've never seen 1 hour photo, but this reminded me of like Robert Englund playing that kind of character. Like of the Robin Williams character in 1 hour photo.
Interesting.
I'm not saying it's like, cause I don't know how good 1 hour photo is. So if that's a really great movie or something, this isn't that, but I think it's worth a watch and checking out and stuff. It's interesting. I'll say that. Rewatched Hatchet, you know, good. Like I always like it. I rewatched after a very long time, Strangeland, which has aged in a very weird way for me, but still so. I forgot that was what's the girl's name? Linda Cardinelli. I completely forgot that she's the girl in that movie, or the little girl, or the young girl, I should say, young woman, whatever. And you know, Dee Snider's in that, being the creepy internet creep. Which, the internet was fun back in the late 90s, wasn't it? So, it, if you want to see something, the internet back then, it was quite interesting, to say the least. Also, it's like a very nice, it's kind of like holding a mirror up to society and how we treat, like, criminals and stuff like that. So, it's like, there's more to the story than just, you know, people getting giant piercings and stuff.
Yep. Also, Dee Snider wrote that movie.
Yeah. He should write more stuff. If he's still alive, I don't actually know.
He's still alive.
Yeah. Oh, also rewatched Nightmare on Elm Street and The Prowler. Lots of, you know, classic slashers and stuff. And watched a double feature of Suspiria and the remake or reimagining of Suspiria, which I have seen Suspiria a bunch of times because I love it. And this was my first time watching the remake or reimagining, whatever you want to call it, of Suspiria. And there were things that I liked about the reimagining, but I was not a huge fan of it. I think it was fine. Like, you know, there's just like, you can't, I don't know. It's hard. They tried to do something different. So I give them credit for that. Like, it is different. And so, you know, in that way, it doesn't even try to compare to the original, which is just, you know. Oh, God, Suspiria is so good. Go watch Suspiria. But I think it's about that time to peek around that corner and give you some of the highlights of horror news.
We got a trailer from A24 about a new movie called I Saw the TV Glow. Pretty interesting to me. It's about some kids that actually end up becoming friends because of a TV show they used to watch and are obsessed about. And then some spooky, strange things happen because of that. That has to do with the TV glowing and a whole bunch of weird stuff happening. So It's A24, so let's see what they can do.
Looking at this trailer and just having seen Suspiria, like, there is something about the way this looks and the use of color and stuff that I already just love. So I hope that they do. I hope it's a good story, but it looks great.
I'm interested, and Justice Smith is great. So that hooked me. I saw him and I was like, ooh, okay, all right. And then the trailer itself just looked really interesting. So A24 has done a lot of good stuff. Let's see how it goes. I think it comes out later this year, right?
Yeah, I forget what it said for the release date.
So the... And I know Travis will laugh when I say this, but the long-awaited Maxine finally has a release date. We have waited a long time now, though. Come on.
It's been like what? Like 18 months?
No, but like it was supposed to release last year, and they pushed it, and they pushed it. So it was supposed to come out like towards the end of 2023. And now it's finally coming out July 5th in theaters. And I can't fucking wait. I guess
I gotta watch the first two then.
Yes, you do.
Did you?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you have to. Ooh. Okay. So I think we can watch X during the summer, because that's kind of a summery type movie, right? I guess they're both summery type movies. No, I guess... Uh-huh. Pearl is kind of fall. Well, we'll fast track at least X for the show. I'm just saying, it's one of those like things with the trilogy where I liked X. I was gonna say Pearl
I enjoyed a lot more.
Exactly. How often does that happen, right? Where the sequel, I guess it's technically prequel.
It can happen.
It gets kind of confusing, right? Because it's made to be the second movie in it, but it's the prequel. So it's complicated. Mm. Complicated. But anyway, exciting. Anybody else excited?
What's it called?
Maxine.
Did you say the title? Maxine?
Yes.
Maxine. Tree Exists. Max 666.
Of course.
It might also be a next XXX movie. We don't know, actually.
The title of the movie can be found at shitoutofluck.com.
Yep.
I did it.
You did. There's also a trailer for The Watchers that looked interesting. I think it was producer M. Night Shyamalan, right? He's not directing it, but he's producing it. But the trailer looked interesting with a bunch of people in a... Basically a hut with a like one-way or two-way mirror on the side of it. And the trailer doesn't give you much info, which is fine by me. But it looked intriguing.
Is this the one? This is the one directed by his daughter.
Yes, is it written and directed by Shana Knight. Okay.
I mean, the premise looks interesting. I'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah, it feels kind of reverse Arrival.
Departure?
That's the one, yeah. That's actually exactly how that goes.
I hate you. It's got Georgina Campbell in it, so I like her. She was in that other movie that I liked that I forget the name of.
Just head over to shitoutofluck.com. You can find that name.
I also throw this in that I saw the trailer and I wish I had from something called Infested, and I hate life.
Spooters!
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that reminds me, we gotta watch Kingdom of Spiders. It's got riff tracks on it, though.
And now for tonight's feature presentation.
There once was a podcast named Gore. Its listeners were asking for more. More talk about movies, both good and bad. Sometimes even about a title that shouldn't be said.
Wicked and Faye, Travis and Dredd, podcasting their voices right into your head. Today we're talking about Leprechaun 3, and all I can say is...
That was a movie. Off to Vegas, our leprechaun friend goes. City of magic, Elvis in casinos. Once again, he loses his gold. Surely that plot will never get old.
At least he didn't go into space, because doesn't that happen like always? Oh, they do that in part 4? Well, beam me up, Scotty. I'm ready for more.
But we'll get to that next year. You all have nothing to fear. There are more Leprechaun movies, and they're not all sucky. So blow on your dice. You're about to get lucky. Leprechaun 3, also known as Leprechaun 3 in Vegas, is a 1995 slasher comedy film starring the incomparable Warwick Davis. It's the third installment and the first direct-to-video in the Leprechaun series. Now, here's our very simple three questions today. Everybody gets the same question? I'm just curious. Travis.
Yes.
One coin, one wish. What do you wish for?
I'll have a Coke. Just keep it simple.
Oh, God. All right. That makes, yeah. Okay.
Well, I'm just curious how the Coke is going to kill Travis.
When it backfires, yeah.
Yeah.
It's made of real cocaine.
It's Pepsi!
Ah! No! Be
so it's the better stuff.
No.
Why are you even here? Just to hurt me in the heart? Faye, one coin, one wish. What do you wish for?
Just enough money to live without having to work.
I like that. And apparently, by the way, the wishing for money, like, apparently there's some punishment for that in this world, right? That was, yeah. Did he ever get punished for that? No. Not really, right? The original kid? Remember, no. He was winning on the table? He wished to win the money.
I mean, it was all taken away by the surgeons and medical staff that were corrupt.
Technically, but he got it back, didn't he? Because, like, his money was like his gold. But in any case, I like that. I want money as well. Dreadly. One coin, one wish. What do you wish for?
Well, I'm going to wish for every copy in existence of the movie Poltergeist so I can send it to our patrons and make them watch it.
Oh, like a punishment?
Oh, yeah.
I respect that.
Gonna do like the toothpicks in the eyes or whatever. Mm-hmm. I guess it's not toothpicks, but you get my point.
Yeah.
Clockwork Orange.
A Clockwork Orange.
Clockwork.
Yep. A Clockwork Orange. I love it. I love it. It's the only good thing in that movie. So yeah, we watched Leprechaun 3 because this is the third year that we've covered Leprechaun's Day. I mean, St. Patrick's Day. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yes, yeah. Everybody celebrate my birthday.
Oh, and it's Faye's birthday. Happy birthday, Faye. I love that you're frozen like that. For me, it's perfect.
She's not frozen for me.
But she's frozen for me.
Oh, well. Well, it's nice to know that for Faye's birthday, we can just watch Leprechaun each year. That's nice.
Until we run out of leprechauns, and then we'll need to find real movies.
Ooh, that's a good thing. There's like 20 of them, so.
You know, at this point, we would talk about the intricacies of the plot and all of the, you know, metaphors that need defining, but it's fucking Leprechaun 3.
There's none of that.
Oh,
This was just how many leprechaun puns can we cram into a single movie?
This one was a lot funnier.
And we find out how leprechauns are born.
Yeah. They did. They leaned into the humor of this, and which I applaud, right? Because it is on its face a pretty ridiculous idea. So why not go crazy with it and make it funny? Warwick Davis is so much fun as the leprechaun. So just give us more of him doing leprechaun things. I'm all for it.
Yeah. Then
an interesting move to put it in Las Vegas, but you know.
I kept thinking he's going to run into Wishmaster, but he didn't.
That would have been awesome.
Oh, we really got to start the Wishmaster series.
It's the crossover we all wanted.
That we didn't know.
Leprechaun versus Wishmaster?
Yes.
Oh, my God. You think we can get that Divioff guy? I don't know how to say his last name. Come back as the Wishmaster.
Andrew Divioff?
Divioff? Is that it? Yeah. Have him come back. Warwick Davis come back.
All right. Yes.
Battle
yes,
it out.
Just to see those two just bicker back and forth. That would be the whole movie. Yes.
That's how I feel about this movie.
Hey, leprechauns are basically werewolves. So, hey.
For what it is, though, and the budget they had to make it, I mean, it was direct to video, right? The first one to do that. For the budget that they had, I thought they did fine. Like, the director, I saw his name and I didn't recognize it, and I'm thinking, oh, this is just one of those, like, you know, he's never directed anything before, they throw him a movie, he makes it. No, I look, Brian Tenchard Smith, been directing since like the 70s. He's got 62 credits to his name as a director. Like, guy worked for a long time doing a lot of this exact type of thing. Just low budget stuff. He has a movie he directed called Tyrannosaurus Azteca. Kind of want to see that.
You should find it. Yeah.
70s movie?
No, 2007.
What? Yep.
Okay, we might have to.
Other sequels like The Omega Code 2, Medigo, Porky's 4, Pimpin' Pee-wee. I have no desire to see that.
He likes doing sequels, huh?
Yep. He did Leprechaun 3 and Leprechaun 4 in Space.
The greatest of them all. Spoiler for next year.
Oh, my God.
But he does stretch all the way back to directing an episode of The Marty Feldman Show in 1972. So, been around for a while, but really it was just put Warwick Davis in the makeup, film him wandering around Las Vegas, mostly without permits, because they had like permits for one night of shooting, so they just shot everything guerrilla style, which, okay.
I did read that the whole
14 days to film the movie. I also did read that it was a non-union shoot to save money, which is a bit of a bummer. This movie did end the career of what's her name, Lee Armstrong, aka Tammy. She didn't act after this. It was like her second or third movie, and then she was done.
Well, I can't top this.
Do we know why?
I don't know. She has no picture on IMDb. She was in three movies. Two of them were in 1995, and then she quit acting.
Is she still alive?
As far as I know.
Have you checked?
I didn't dig that
Have
deep.
Have you checked on it? 1970, born.
That's it. There's very little information on her. Quit acting after Leprechaun 3.
Well, I mean, how many takes did they make her do for that one scene?
I don't know.
Well, you know, some people. I mean, it's either that this movie was such a bad experience, but I can't imagine that was it. It's probably more of a, like, this isn't really what she really wanted to do.
Yeah, that's kind of the feel I got.
She found something she loved more.
I will say, I'll save it. I'll save my favorite moment that actually made me laugh out loud for a little bit later. Because there was one. Like, there's a lot of humor in this, and I did chuckle a good bit. Like, there was a lot of, like, the, okay, that's clever. Oh, that's cute. Or, ew, that's a, you know, whatever. But there was one moment that did make me, like, literally laugh. So, tease. You get that in a little bit.
But you know what it's time for?
The 13!
The 13 is a specially cultivated list of tropes or our favorite things from horror movies. This list may change or be adjusted as time goes on and in real time because this is Vegas, baby. Little less conversation. That's all I know. I don't know any Elvis songs. I'm sorry. I think I know that from the show Las Vegas or just Vegas. What was the one with the dude with the hair? Josh. Duhamel.
The dude with the hair.
Dumb hole.
All right. Duhamel.
Duhamel. I watched that show and I had like the remix of that song. Anyway, not the point. Number one, kitty cat.
No.
They don't allow cats in Vegas.
I feel like that's something you can't control. I mean, you're literally in the middle of the biggest litter box in the world, right? Maybe not the biggest, but one of. Number two, Volkswagen.
Yes.
Yay, Volkswagen.
There's your problem. Someone stole your engine. Listen, discount John Glover. I don't know why. John Gatens gave me a like young knockoff John Glover feel. Which is a weird connection to make, but for some reason.
What would I know that John Glover guy from?
You've seen him in a lot. I can't think of anything other than Batman Forever offhand, but like he's been in a ton. He was in In the Mouth of Madness. He's one of the doctors at the asylum. I'll give you a picture of him. You'll know who I'm talking about.
Who was he in Batman Forever?
He was, or no, sorry, Batman and Robin.
Oh.
So worse.
See, Batman and Robin I've seen two times. Batman Forever I've seen too many times.
I think he played one of the nipples.
Look, Val Kilmer played Batman, and I needed to watch Val Kilmer play Batman a lot. Still the sexiest Batman, that's all I'm saying. Look, none of the other Batman, like, I'm nothing against first guy that did it in the 90s with his face. Michael Keaton. Yeah, nothing against Michael Keaton. He's a fine looking man. And nothing against George Clooney is also a fine looking man. And Ben Affleck, he's a fine looking man as well.
None of them are Adam West, so what does it matter?
Exactly.
That's true. And even that the new one, Robert Pattinson.
He's also a man.
I forgot to say that I watched The Batman. Mm. I actually watched a new Batman. Can you imagine that? Me watching a new version of something? I still haven't seen Dark Knight or Dark Knight Returns, but I have seen The Batman. I just want you to soak that in. Don't ask why. Just soak it in. It's a very interesting take. But anyway, going back to whatever the hell we were doing here. Did you send the picture somewhere?
I did. I put it in chatting.
Ah, yes. Oh, he's dead.
Oh, God. Oh, Gremlins 2. The dude from Gremlins 2. I would have remembered that.
He's been bunch.
Yeah.
But I just got a little feel.
Immediately when I see him, the first thing I think is Gremlins 2. The rich jerk.
Yeah. Anyway.
Number three. Scary location, time of the year?
Vegas.
Vegas.
Which again, they had permits for one night of filming. And their movie set in Las Vegas.
That I think took place over one day.
And I can say from experience that you don't want to film in Las Vegas in a place you're not supposed to. Because you will get told not to do it.
Travis has real experience. You can hear the scars in his voice. Number four, meta horror, fourth wall breaks, mentioning the title.
All sorts of that.
Ah, a little bit.
Leprechaun got said many times.
Yes.
You are going to have leprechauns in your leprechaun movie.
I really liked the line that he says, come over to the green side.
Yeah.
Because it's very subtle, but it's very like Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And him being in Star Wars,
yep.
It just felt very, you know, inside jokey. And I really like that.
You know,
I hadn't noticed that.
He petitioned to have that in there. Like, he ad-libbed that line.
He had to, right? But it's good. I appreciated it. Mm-hmm. Number five, archetype characters. Crazy Ralph from Scream. Dick Halloran, Shining. Norman Bates. Creepy clowns. Creepy kids.
I mean, we got dude right at the beginning. What brings in the petrified leprechaun to the pawn shop. I want his story. I want to know what happened.
Yes. Exactly. Like, what the
how did he meet? Like, where did he meet the leprechaun? What happened? How did they end up in Vegas? What is the medallion? Where did he find it? How did he acquire that? I want all this. I need all this information.
I went back to the second movie because I was like, did I forget the ending completely about the second movie? Nope. I did not.
No.
There's a missing 2.5 movie or something.
2.5.
We need the tie-in comic book, like what they did between Chasing Amy and Dogma, where they wrote the comic book to explain how Jay and Silent Bob went from New Jersey to Chicago area. We need that. We need the tie-in comic for Leprechaun 2.5.
Well, there are comic books from Leprechaun, so maybe it exists.
Maybe.
Oh, there is a Clueless Muscle Guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what is that? It's a box of hammers, whatever. Like,
Dumber just, in a bag of hammers.
Yeah. Box of hammers.
It's box of hammers. There was a lot. I mean, you had the sleazy casino
boss.
Are you old enough to be in here? Looks at the chat.
You have money.
Oh, yeah.
You're old enough.
Yeah. The country bumpkin.
Yep.
With the protagonist.
I noted down Morgue dude eating a sandwich.
Yep. Oh, God.
Gotta have that.
That's what they do.
Gotta have. That's a trope as well. Number six, pointless boobies, weird wings, moonies, Fanny.
Boobies.
Okay. I know we had boobies, and I appreciate them. But I want to say that I actually found pointless boobies in this movie, and it was Loretta's boobies for most of the beginning of the movie.
Those were amazing fake boobs that, like, she was holding them up with a belt.
I was just like, what is in her? Oh, that's her breasts.
Which
was like,
they wanted to make the joke, but it was just, it took me a second. I'm like, oh, okay. All right. So those,
like,
were,
she
those,
didn't even, she wasn't old enough to, like, I obviously she's playing older, but still, even the age she was playing to be, there's no way that's not what happens.
No. And then, of course, we had TV boobies and real boobies and robot boobies, all with the same character.
Ah, yeah. Those robot boobies. Nice.
Those were Vegas boobies, too.
I don't know what that means, but you know what that means. They paid for. Oh. I thought they looked different there or something.
Well, yeah, they look different because they don't move. Very much bigger.
Yes. It's the Robin Williams joke of looking down at Vegas and God looks down and is like, I had no part in those.
Number 7, telling, retelling the legend and or establishing the movie's rules.
The computer.
Yes, the longest explanation on leprechauns on a, what was that? It wasn't a DVD that was like older school.
That was stuff. So great.
Oh, God.
I want to go going. Watch that full thing.
Just interactive. Just more lore.
Yeah. It was great. It had the cheesiest animation and the voiceover was wonderful. Like, it was perfect. No notes.
Was fake, right? It was like not right, but they were doing their best.
Like, all I want, honestly, I want the story of the dude at the beginning, and then I want to watch mm-hmm. just that whole presentation that was on the computer. That's exactly. It. That could have been Leprechaun 3.
That is, I literally wrote under this number. I said, I wish they would tell how that first guy trapped him and brought him to the pawn shop. That's literally what I had for this number too.
The medallion. That's how.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, I want to know like what happened. Like, how did he get there? How did he find the medallion? How did he learn that it worked? When did he start turning into a statue? Like, was this, like, what is this shit?
I want the sequence of events of that led us to that moment of him walking into the pawn shop.
Yes. And, hey, we don't know, maybe if we bought the DVD that it has, like, special commentary that tells you the story, and it also has, like, an interactive watch that movie. That would be cool.
I mean, we don't know.
Vinegar Syndrome. We have a job for you with DVDs.
We don't know, but I have a guess. And that guess is no.
They're always coming out with these new advanced 4K Blu-ray special edition collectors issued, you know, with all these extra features and things.
Yes, so they are, for movies that had money behind them.
Why do you have to squash my dreams?
Sorry, it's just the estimated budget for this movie was $1.2 million. I'm pretty sure they spent more than that on craft services for Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1.
They did. Yeah, well, yeah. Number 8, dance sequence, montage. Homage, flashbacks.
Gambling montage a bit. There was a Vegas montage. If you set your movie in Vegas, if you're in Las Vegas, you have to have a montage of casino stuff. Cards on the table.
And Elvis.
Moving around. And Elvis. It's required by law. Oh,
the Elvis scene was fun. Weird.
That was a cute interaction. I liked that.
Yeah. That was a nice one. It was like, even the leprechaun respects Elvis or something.
I always respect the king.
Dance sequence, I like to put the sexy, hypnotized, creepy dance that she had to do.
Where you think you're getting the pointless boobies, but you don't. But then you do.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
The movie's like, trope subversion. By subverting the trope subversion and giving you the boobies anyway.
So many boobies.
That her doing that whole thing when hypnotized or being controlled by the wish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Super gross.
Yeah.
But she did not actually do anything. She was like, even though she was a little like, you know, sexily dancing and stuff, it's almost as if the wish wasn't going to let him get the good part of that. So
I'm hoping
it was never going to happen.
She got to slap him.
Yeah. I mean,
kick him in the nuts.
Yeah.
That was like just beating the hell out of him in the elevator was great. And then finally just kicking him right in the
Right. And then he's doing it to himself, by the way. Oh, I'll just hit myself against this wall. Do you like that? Yeah. I'm like, what the hell?
Number 9, scary score, spooky soundtrack. Can I ask if anybody else kept hearing like the quest up sound and kept thinking like, oh, is the quest ready? Because they kept doing that little sound effect throughout the movie and it was driving me crazy. The one, I think it's the one from World of Warcraft. World of Warcraft, right?
Sure. Could be.
I wasn't paying close enough attention.
Dredd, you heard it, right?
Yes, but you were the one who thought about the quest, yes. It was like a small, like tree note jingle-y thing whenever something happened.
I don't know how to describe it, but World of Warcraft players, go rewatch the movie and write me a letter. Tell me.
But the music in this was great. There, I said it.
Direct your mail to dread at door.com. Nah, it's fine.
Number 10. That scared the shit out of me. Jump scares, one last scare, and other creepy shit. Being sawed in half in a room full of audience members is scary as fuck and is one of my new nightmares.
Ones where they were expecting it to be like the normal magic act.
I mean, yeah.
I don't know. I felt he got what he deserved.
Fazio? What a stupid name. That should be the name of Fozzie the Bear's magician name. That's all I'm saying.
Don't besmirch Fozzie the Bear with that.
No, I'm saying that he stole Fozzie's name. We should kill him. That's the whole point.
Oh, okay. Well, in that case, then I agree with you.
Yes. Fozzie. Anything else scare you?
Creepy. Wasn't really scary.
The makeup on the main character when he turns into a leprechaun, like the hair and I don't know.
That was the weird. Were-leprechaun? He starts rhyming.
Oh, yes.
Wait, why did I say that? Did I really say that?
Mm-hmm. It's what happens, you know.
Oh. I'll tell you something else that scared me, actually. The when the chick, the sexy chick, turns into like Ex Machina robot lady, and I'm just like, oh fuck. That was quite jarring. And all I can think is like it was kind of like that kind of thing, the whole like machine
like on Superman 3 kind of.
Yeah, exactly. Like that same kind of like weird feeling. Also, if you have seen Ex Machina, like that movie fucked me up. Because that is robot people, you know, robot lady with the same kind of like, you know, like the skull, like with the clear thing and the, you've seen the.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it. Yeah.
Anyway, she looks kind of like that robot, basically. But that kind of scared me. Creeped me out, I should say. Number 11. Tropification. Someone does stupid shit. Or, that was funny.
Oh, well, let's start with our pawn shop owner. Don't touch that metal. Okay. Touch the metal.
Don't touch
the metal. Oh, let me play this DVD full of information that I should know about leprechauns and then miss the important parts because I'm too busy with other stuff.
Right.
Then eventually I get killed and that was the most amazing being dead and still moving your eyes, just whatever. Because when the main guy finds the body, and he like checks on him. You can see his eyes just looking everywhere. And like, you're dead. No.
Well, when you shoot an entire movie in 14 days, you probably do some long days. He was, I'm sure, just like, Jesus, just can we just be done with this already? How about our main character taking the $23,000 check he was given to start, you know, whatever it was he was going to do, blowing it at college. The casino. College, yeah.
It was his college money, his college tuition.
You're going in, but whatever you do, no gambling. Okay. Walks in, starts gambling.
Yep.
Didn't even try. They didn't even need to, like, you know, to coax him into it. Like, it's like,
and not even just smart gambling. Like, yeah, he, like, it's not like he took, like, he cashed his check and took, like, an allocated amount to gamble with and then played
all of it
on friggin', what is that, roulette?
Yeah, roulette. I was half expecting him to put all the money on one number, just like lose it all at once.
Oh, well, that was fun.
That was a very drawn-out scene as well, by the way. Yeah. He's like, oh, yeah, just keep betting. You're bound to win. And I'm like, this is too many times of him doing a stupid thing.
And then
it's like too many times
for him to go to the pawn shop and the whole thing with that. And then, like, I wish I was back at the casino on a winning streak. And he's just there in the middle of his winning streak.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Sure. I will say, though, this movie did make me laugh out loud in one moment.
Okay.
And that is, so we've got the character of, like, the dude that casino guy owes money that has the big dumb henchman.
Yeah.
Which those two were just so dumb and I loved it. Like when they're waiting for him and they're talking about clothes, he's like, oh, my boxers are riding up my crack. That's why I wear jockeys. You know, that whole conversation, that one had me chuckling. Like, I probably get those sock garters, but they make me feel like a sissy. But when they walked into the room and they find Mitch on the bed, like toasted with his pants down and the leprechaun on the bed, and just the way the guy's like, what the hell is going on here? I laughed out loud at that moment. It was so perfectly delivered.
The timing was great on that.
It was great. That one got me. So
true.
Yeah.
My favorite scene was the leprechaun and Elvis. It was just,
it was good.
Perfect.
It was real good.
Yeah. That was just like pure fun. And it's the gif from this movie that you always see, you know, where he's doing the pelvis, the pulsating pelvis thing or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's creepy.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Uh-huh. But yeah, everybody who is really greedy is doing some stupid shit. Well, I guess evil shit. He's stupid for losing his tuition. And doesn't everybody know by now wishes don't work? Like monkey's paw. Have we not learned yet?
No.
No. Also something stupid, or maybe I'm stupid. Or both. But the ending of this movie. Didn't they kill the leprechaun by killing his gold, basically?
Yeah, and there's still the one coin.
But then there's just, so why did he die if there's one coin left? Do you need to kill half his coins? Is there like a fixed number there?
Let me ask you another question. Why did he bring his gold there in a vulnerable place where they could?
Yeah, I feel like he's looking for it every time. He's like, I want me gold, but I'm just going to, you know.
He was using it to try to tempt the other leprechaun, the main character, into joining him.
Oh, goodness gracious.
That was the reason why he brought it there.
And then that made him vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
He should have just grabbed multiple coins.
I mean, he was expecting him to turn. And to join them.
Yeah, the green side.
That would have been a different movie.
Well, I can't wait to find out how they explain how from this ending we end up in space. The next one.
Just like the other ones, there's no connectivity between them.
Aww.
I'm not even certain they're all the same leprechaun. They just happen to be played by.
I did read that like this was meant to be the third part of a trilogy, but then it sold well. And so they were like, well, I guess we should make another one then.
Yeah.
I read this was going to be the third part in a trilogy, but they forgot to make the first two.
I mean, there is that.
Number 12, Final Girl. Look, technically, you know, it's a pair, right? But she was a very capable, intelligent, and good person. I appreciated her.
Other than when the wish took her over.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, she had no control over that, right? But, like, she was kind-hearted. She was nice to him. She tried to protect him. She's the one who kind of helped outsmart things and, you know, zap him out of his stupid, idiotic, greedy shit. So, she did a lot to facilitate defeating Leprechaun guy. Well, so, I give her some street cred.
But she also let him in the casino while he was underage.
And
she was also standing in the middle of the road, almost got hit by a car.
I didn't say she wasn't stupid a little bit, but I'm just saying, like, she put up a good fight. She wasn't, like, just waiting to be saved or whatever, you know? So she gets a little.
Not a damsel in distress.
Credit. Exactly. She gets a little final girl credit. Just a little bit. Not a full one, a half one. Number 13, the Savini scale of gore. It's not the quantity of gore, it's the quality of gore, special effects, and monsters. So how many?
Shiny gold coins.
No, I was going to go with bitten off ears.
Oh. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, he did bite off the ear.
Yes, there was a Mike Tyson event.
Yeah. I'd say 7. The special effects that were in here weren't too bad, other than, you know, his transformation makeup.
Oh, that was a choice. I feel like that was a choice.
Yeah.
I mean,
other than that, I felt it was pretty decent.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to go with a 6 because there was a lot of them that did look really cheap, and I understand they didn't have any money. I get that. But we've seen stuff that does have really low budgets that, like, maximizes that. I didn't feel like they did here, so I'll go with a 6.
I'll go for a 7 because of the magician scene cutting in half and then opening the half. And
thank you for reminding me.
That was pretty good. Number.
That bumps up my number 1 to to a 6.
It was gonna be a 5.
Yeah, I wrote down 5 question mark. Like, I wasn't sure if I wanted to give it a 5, but I think, yeah. And that'll wrap up the 13 for this episode. I think my favorite kill, I forgot to say this, is the horny old guy Mitch being electrocuted by the malfunctioning sex bot, which I would, if I ever have a band, I would really like it to be called Malfunctioning Sex Bot. Or, you know, Wicked Kitten and the Malfunctioning Sex Bot. Something like that. I feel like that's...
Oh, must be me. Oh.
Body count, did we? I forgot to... I didn't see anything. 1, 2, 3... 9? 9 times.
Hi, Igor listeners. Wicked jumping in after the fact. Just wanted to keep you informed on some scheduling updates. Given the new season of TLDI starting back up, we are going to be swapping our Fridays, which was basically just going to be pushing a week and probably missing an episode. Sounds easy enough, right? Of course, life likes to be complicated. Adding in that I got sick and had to reschedule one episode, and the fact that Travis is going to be out of town, means that we had to push quite a bit more. So you're probably not going to be getting the next episode until April 19th, which feels like a million miles away, which is not an increment of time. So I'd really like to get something out to you folks, some extra content, something, but I'm not sure what's realistically possible at this moment. If I can get the whole gang together at some point and find another place, maybe we can record a watch-along that we've been meaning to do for this whole time and get that out to everybody. If maybe I can just grab either Faye or Dread and maybe record some short one-off of something. Or even if it's just me coming on here doing some wicked words or, you know, talking about something, I'm going to try to find a way to get you some extra content within that window. So please stick with us. We are not pod fading, we promise. And I will keep you updated on the Discord, on the Twitters, on the Blue Sky, or in the Blue Sky. Well, that would be cool if I said it like that, wouldn't it? I'll keep you updated on the Discord, on the Twitter, in the Blue Sky. Yeah. So keep following us there. Send us an email if you like. Check out the website. And in the meantime, keep it scary. And now we'll play What the Hell Was That? It's where we play a clip from our next movie provided by our clip curator. Play the clip, Dreadly.
Quite a good scene, isn't it? One man crazy, three very sane spectators.
Can you guess that movie? Give it a try on Twitter or Blue Sky, and don't forget to tag the show. And if no one guesses it, we'll still post and give clues. So be sure to follow us at Gore Podcast. First person to guess it correctly gets a shout out on the next episode. And you can be like nobody who guessed at the Lodge. Which is fine, because, you know, sometimes we like to pick movies that no one's ever seen before. We didn't get any emails, but if you'd like to email the show, you can do that at gorepodcast13@gmail.com. We have a Patreon, so if you'd like to support us, go to patreon.com/gore13. Lots of different levels that you can do and get into our secret Discord and send us questions, or even some of our patrons like to guess at the movies, which that's fun too. So you can go there and do that. We have a website, so check us out at gorepodcast.com, created by the lovely Bumby. And if you'd like to support us in some non-monetary ways, feel free to leave a 5-star review on your podcast app of choice. But until next episode, Travis, where can people find you?
I am on all the social medias as TV's Travis, or go to tvstravis.com.
Faye, where can people find you?
On Twitter at Chibi Phelan.
And finally, Dreadly, tell people how they can travel to the bowels of hell to find you.
Well, just head on over to thedreadzone.com, which by the time this episode comes out, we'll finally have some new design, I guess. Because I realized that I haven't done anything with that since I actually made it. Huh. So check it out. And where can people find you, Wicked Kitten?
You can follow me on Twitter, Twitch, and Blue Sky at WickedKitten13. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And I hope we made it a little harder to fall asleep tonight.
There once was a lady of Totten, whose tastes grew perverted and rotten. She cared not for steaks, or for pastries and cakes, but lived upon penis au gratin.
Metallica.